Thanks, Jeff. So I'll lead off with the aviation business and start with kind of picking up on what Jeff said. Look, we're the largest provider of jet engines in the world. Sales of $19 billion, 40,000 employees, 83 sites. And we really look at the business in five segments. Each one has a strategic imperative as we take a look at 2012, 2013, and beyond. In the commercial engine sector, Jeff said it, we have had some very significant generational shifts, changes in airplanes that require us to play. And we've done a good job capturing the next generation of engine airplane combinations on the right airplanes, and we'll show you what that means in terms of building out the future of the business in commercial aviation. The challenge now is execution, both in engineering and in supply chain. Supply chain execution on margin expansion, as well as execution in engineering. Commercial engine and services, I'm going to show you a story of our installed base growth all the way out through 2020. By 2020, 69% of every aircraft that takes off the ground will be powered by CFM or GE. And if you take a look at that and see what that's going to drive, that utilization will drive in terms of shop visits and spares. I'll show you that they have to take advantage. We are ready to take advantage of that installed base growth. And Launch Services 2.0, which is the next generation of productivity and efficiencies for us as well as our customer. Military engines and services, it's all about recognizing the changing marketplace where investments will be less, and therefore the effectiveness, cost effectiveness that is placed by the government on each one of the purchases will be higher. We're going to capitalize on a great market position in order to drive upgrades and look at international sales. Systems, very well positioned on the right platforms, great adjacencies that's performing for us. And finally, we're very excited about taking the technologies that have made us great in the military and commercial engine business and rolling them into business and general aviation, and we'll tell you that story at the same time. So that represents the strategic imperatives that you see on the right-hand side of this page. So let me just talk a little bit about the market drivers and the environment. Passenger demand for air travel continues to grow around 6% year to date. These are IATA figures, close to 5% forecasted for 2013. Freight demand soft, an indication of just what's happening with global trade. I'm not telling you anything new here, but we're seeing it in freight demand for airplanes as well as cargo around the world. Oil has been pretty stable. Jet A fuel is up probably year over year somewhere between 5 and 8%. The outlook through 2013 is stable. No radical transitions in oil, which would accelerate, if you will, the retirement of old equipment. And finally, defense budget. That's where the big change is going to be. Just on the budget request, it's down 5% year over year. This doesn't include the impact of sequestration or the reduction in overseas contingency as well. So that's kind of the environment. If you look at where we are today in commercial, this is just a terrific lineup. We added 16,000 engines between the beginning of the decade and where we are today. I'm going to show you we're going to add another 16,000 by 2020. So what we did in 12 years from 2000, we'll actually accomplish in 8 years, over the next 8 years. We're number one in powering regionals. We power the Bombardier 50, 70, and 90 packs. We power sole source the Embraer 70 and 90 packs. We lead in powering the narrow bodies, single aisles, A320s and 737s. We'll come out of this next generational transition in narrow body stronger than we went in. We are in the process of replacing the best-selling wide-body engine in history, the CF6, with the next generation, which is GNX. That's been our fastest-selling engine on order and is performing very well in the field. And finally, the GE90 on the 777-300ER. There's not a customer in the world that has anything but positive things to say about their 777-300ER. Most productive and effective airplane that they're flying in that size big twin, and we're thrilled to be on it, and it's a great franchise for us. $19 billion of equipment backlog, $74 billion of services backlog. Backlog of equipment is anywhere from 3 to 7 years, depending on the engine model. So a very healthy position in commercial aviation. We talked about the GNX. It brings to the marketplace 15% lower fuel consumption and 40% reduction in nitrous oxide emissions. So far, we're flying at 6 customers today on the 747-8. 5 of those are cargo, plus Lufthansa flying the commercial passenger version. And we're flying at 4 customers on the 787, and Qatar will be our 5th. They'll take their delivery on Saturday of this week. Let me hit the shaft. For those of you who follow aviation, you know, we had an issue with the shaft on the GNX. We've been working very tightly with the National Transportation Safety Board and the FAA. The field plan has been implemented. We've inspected all the shafts in service and found nothing. The inspections are completed. The field plan is executed. We've made the changes in productions to the shaft, and again, we're working hand-in-hand with both the FAA and the NTSB to get this behind us quickly. So that actually turned out to be a very positive collaborative work arrangement with both the NTSB and the FAA, and we're very happy with where we are on it. LEAP, this replaces the current CFM. This is the next generation of CFM product, promising and delivering 15% better fuel consumption. The main message here is we are again sole source on the 737 MAX with over 1,100 aircraft announced. We've picked up a brand new application in China with a COMAC C919, and I'll show you what that means in terms of our investment in that airplane, not only on the engine, but on avionics as well as on the integrated propulsion system. And we're one of two sources in the Airbus A320, and we're running around 51% share on the announced wins on the A320neo. So we will come out of this cycle stronger than we went into this cycle with the current CFM products. And the LEAP right now, designs are frozen. We're procuring hardware. First engine goes to test for the China and the Airbus airplane in first quarter of 2013. And the first engine goes to test for the Boeing airplane in the first quarter of 2014. So we're well off and running on this. It's going to be a great program for us, and we're very happy with our positioning. If you take a look at what makes this all possible, it really is our ability to leverage technology investment. You know, the one thing that GE has done over the years, it's made big investments in technologies, both in terms of multi-generational technology plans and product plans, and making sure that we align the technology planning and the product planning so that we can bring it to market with the most effective and efficient cost point that we can. So think about the GENX as being the first really big fuel-efficient move we've made in the wide-body space since the GE90. We scale that design. We change the design for higher cycle utilization because on a 73 and A320, those operators will literally run departures, 5, 6, 7 departures a day. So the durability of the engine has to be considered as well as the fuel burn savings. And we'll put that in service in 2016. At the time that goes into service, we'll have already accumulated 14 million hours on the GENX on the technologies that we leveraged to put into the LEAP engine. We then will take the LEAP engine and again scale it up and put some more technology so that we can get to higher temperatures, and we'll create the engine for the next generation 777 in 2019 entry into service called the GE9X. By the time that engine goes into service, the GENX will have 30 million hours. The technologies we introduce on the GENX will now be 30 million hours in service. The CFM will, replacement LEAP will have another 30 million hours in it. So the technology maturation that will be ready for the 9X is leveraged starting all the way back on the GENX and moving up to the 9X. This is an incredibly efficient way for us to spend our engineering dollars. It enables us to drive productivity in engineering in a very big way. It allows us to really understand our technology readiness in manufacturing and scale our footprint for the technologies of our total future product plan, not just one of our engines. And it allows us to ensure that we get the right supply chain efficiencies as we build out center of excellence around each one of these new manufacturing technologies. So we are the only engine manufacturer that can take technologies from the 787 wide bodies, then the narrow body, and put those into the next generation big twin. None of the other guys can take this kind of incremental step, have this kind of durability demonstration, and bring this kind of technology to market with the efficiencies that we can. Military, currently 26,000, almost 26,000 engines in service. That represents about 48% of the world's global military fleet that are powered by Western engines. We recognize and have to position for the realities of change. That means that our strategy has to concentrate on upgrades where we take advantage of that terrific market share and put very cost-effective upgrades that can create big value for the customers, the DoD, and at the same time be at a much different price point than a new program. Pushing international sales for sustaining our production. Right now there's at least 1,000 engines out for tender internationally. Markets like Asia-Pacific, India, Middle East, those are all growth markets in the military right now, so we're out very aggressive with our airplane customers and partners working on international opportunities. And finally, science and technology readiness. Just last week, we were awarded the ADVENT program, which is the science and technology program for the sixth generation of technologies in combat aircraft. It's a huge deal. We were one of two down selected, and it puts us in great position to continue to invest in science and technology programs in the military space. Least impacted in sequestration is also where our core sweet spot is in today's DoD procurement. So Army helicopters, two out of every three Army helicopters are powered by us. Navy aircraft, every combat aircraft on the carrier deck is powered by us, and the science and technology programs, as I just said, in ADVENT. So we recognize the realities of a shrinking budget. We hope to take advantage. We will take advantage with upgrades and cost-effective alternatives and drive international sales to keep the military business in good shape. Switching now to the services growth model, and I intimated at this on a previous page. If you look on the far left, this is our projection of the in-service fleet, just simply based on what we know will be in the order book and sell through 2020. So by 2020, we'll be at 46,000 engines in service, up from 30,000 today. That'll drive record utilization. And like I said, 69% of all departures by 2020 will be powered by GE and CFM. We'll be at 30 million departures annually. And finally, that'll push the shop visits at about a 4% CAGR rate, so expect us to add about 1,500 shop visits a year by 2020. Today, 44% of our existing fleet has not seen its first shop visit yet, and a very, very healthy services profile just based on the tailwind associated with the installed base growth. Now, as Jeff said, in addition to just the current services generation of products, we're working very hard on this new generation of products that are centered around analytics. And for us, analytics manifests itself really in three programs. The first one is improving the productivity of the customer's assets. We do that by two inorganic purchases we made, one called Fuel and Carbon and the other one called Austin Digital, where we get access to flight operations data from the airlines. We take the flight operations data through these advanced analytics, and we find areas for operational fuel savings, and we bring those back in a proposal to the airlines. To give you a perspective, you take an average airline with 70 airplanes, mid-sized airline, 1% fuel burn reduction can save that airline $10 million annually. So this is a really big deal, very positive momentum by our customers and excited about us moving forward in this space. The middle one is called Integrated Vehicle Health Management, and this is all about improving the utilization of our customers' airplanes. We do that through the next generation of remote diagnostics, which are really prognostics, where we can use algorithms to actually predict what's going to happen on the airplanes and on the engines far before it occurs. By doing that and connecting it into the enterprise, so we get right into the op centers of the airlines with the information, we can reschedule crews, we can reschedule equipment, and we can improve the utilization of each one of the assets. And to give you some idea, if a customer has a 50 airplane fleet and we can increase utilization by 1 hour a day, we can generate $100 million of additional productivity for the customer. And the last one on the right-hand side is all about our ability to deliver our services with more productivity. So think of a world in which all that analytical data and prognostics data is on the engine is coming into GE. We're using that information to determine when we should take it off wing and what the work scope should be when we take it off wing. By doing that, we can literally optimize our utilization of resources and still return to the customer the right product that we said we would when we did the overhaul. 5% annual productivity we think is well within the cards, and that would generate $50 million of cost savings a year in our P&L and services. If we, all of this is wrapped around a center of analytics in aviation. So fuel efficiency, asset utilization, and operational efficiency are the three things we're going for. Now, why is this really important to us? Well, today, we talked about 30,000 engines in the fleet, and this is going to grow to 46,000 engines in the fleet. So we have to get this right now so that we can bring this additional value both to the customers as well as our own productivity if we're going to try to improve margin rates within the services portfolio over the next 8 years. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about winning in China. Jeff talked about this. Currently, if you take a look at the installed base flying in China between CFM and GE, we represent 67% of the airplanes flying in China today. Now, we still believe that transportation is an essential industry in China. We believe that for China's economy to continue to grow, they have to fly, and we believe they're going to take delivery of these airplanes and the backlog. In the backlog, we represent 69% of the backlog in China. We made a big bet on the C919 because we believe this airplane has a market in China and even internationally in some other areas of the world. We bet on the engine with LEAP, sole source. We're putting the integrated propulsion system around the engine through a joint venture with Safran called Nexel. And we have entered into a joint venture with AVIC, which went operational the first quarter of 2012 to provide the integrated avionics suite within this airplane as well. So we're real bullish on China long term, and we're making the investments both in their airplane, and we also are ensuring ourselves we have the right market positions on our existing engines. The last piece of this is business and general aviation. Right now, we have five applications that we're looking at, our engines going into various business and general aviation opportunities in China. Only one of them is announceable while we're standing here, but there's four more that are in the hopper right now, and probably a couple of those will announce or break here within the next 3 to 6 months. But this is another very exciting and growing space for us of taking our existing engines and looking at where the business and general aviation growth is in China, make sure we capture the engine programs. So let me talk a little bit about business and general aviation. I did a slide and talked to you about leveraging technology between the GEnx all the way up to the GE9X over the next 8 years. This might be as important a leverage of technology as is the horizontal through the product families and commercial engines. So in turboprops, in 2009, we bought Walter engines out of the Czech Republic. They had an existing product family. We took the product family, we upgraded it, brought our own technology in, and have now created a whole new product family called the H80. We have four new applications of that, and we're hunting. We have probably four more that we'll go after over the next year. We'll increase the number of engines by 110 to 120 a year through the rest of this decade and build out that turboprop family in Czech. GE Honda will certify the engine at the end of this year. It's flying with the Honda Jet right now down in North Carolina. The Honda Jet is certifying in 2013. That'll be the way we play the light jet space. In the mid-sized jets, there's too many engine manufacturers competing right now. There's four guys duking it out every day for every one of those airplanes. So for us, the play there is to go through the systems door with integrated distributed power as well as our integrated vehicle health monitor. Big wins on the Gulfstream 650 and the Bombardier new product lines in that space. And finally, with large cabin, we took the LEAP X technology, we sized it down and created Passport 20 for the global 7,000, 8,000. So we're going hard at, remember, this size space, this large cabin is kind of like an ultra long range, long haul airplane in commercial. So it needs really, really good fuel burn. And so taking GEnx and LEAP and bringing it into the Passport 20 was the right move, and we're bullish about that marketplace as well. So we're excited about the adjacency growth. We've made investments with Passport, leveraging the LEAP technologies, investments with GE Honda in the light jets, and we're looking for more applications and investment on our own in the turboprop market with the Czech Republic. Systems, $17 billion in climbing. We like the way this is shaping up. Four major market segments, avionics, mechanical, we talked about integrated propulsion, also integrated turboprop systems. Power, we're very happy with our current power investments and would like to do more. Big connection with GRC on silicon carbide technology, which is the next generation of power distribution. And finally, Unison, which is an ignition systems business that is not only investing in next generation ignition systems, but also adjacent markets like oil and gas and energy. So this business is very well positioned now. We've got some good wins on the right platforms. It's a stable business, and we're happy with this. This is where Smith ended up landing, and it's a good place. Finally, in terms of margins, in 11 we're at 18.6. We see positive margin growth in 2012 and again in 13. Most of that is driven by exactly what I just told you. Having a differentiated product in terms of fuel burn gives us the opportunity to go get price. Price realization allows our value gap to go up. So in addition to driving the efficiencies of our supply chain production, through the production, system. We can also go after price in the marketplace as long as our fuel burn advantage is maintained. So value gap for us is a big deal. We're going to actually go after deflation by increasing our low-cost country buys by almost 2x over the next 4 years, in addition to going after price. We will do a few strategic divestitures on low-margin businesses. Global shared services with GGO, we're now very integrated with human resources and finance in our back rooms, which drives a lot of efficiency into our business. And finally, going after the installed base with analytics as well as the services tailwind due to just the growth in installed base is a big margin escalator for us, and we have to go capture it. I do want to mention the GNX. Jeff made a point. The GNX has been just a terrific product for us in terms of product cost. In the last 2 years, we've been able to take 30% of the cost out of that product. And we still have got more ideas. Every time we go after a cost reduction on these brand new technologies, it creates an entire new thought process on the next generation of cost reductions we can take out. It also positions the leap correctly in the marketplace because those same technologies become the baseline foundation for the leap engine in 2016. So it gives us a great opportunity to leverage those cost reductions in the leap, and then we'll do it again in the 9X. So the outlook for the business is strong. Revenues of 18.9, growing all the way through 13. Fundamentals of the industry remain strong. As we talked about, revenue passenger demand is up. Military needs to really pivot around more cost-effective solutions. We've got a great strategic plan for the next generation of technologies and maintaining that leadership so we can drive price. We've done a good job on replacing CFM in the next generation and the GNX to replace the CF6. Our customer base is strong, and our profitability engine continues to move in the right direction. So a good business, a great GE business, and we feel really comfortable about our position. So, okay?